Jackson Rallo is the newest generation at the helm of Rallo Insurance. As president of the agency, he's constantly looking at the future, how to build better relationships, and how to integrate tech to accentuate, not replace, quality interactions. He also hosts a podcast that helps young professionals and students find the best white-collar industries that match their interests and abilities. He's also a new dad, and he's today's guest on The Brand Manual.
All right, today on The Brand Manual, we are thrilled to have Jackson Rallo, president of Rallo Insurance, host of the One and Done podcast, so you know we love him. Jackson, thanks for coming on, man. We're excited to have you.
Absolutely, guys. Thank y'all for having me. It's going to hopefully be a good episode.
Man, come on, no doubts. All right, so, you know, for those out there who don't know you, I know that you've got a lot of stuff going on, but you have two real main channels or roads that you could walk us down. Can you give us a high-level overview of both of them?
Yeah, absolutely. So I like to say my day-to-day job is being the president of Rallo Insurance Group. Been with the agency for about 3.5 years now, ever since I graduated from Texas A&M. Never wanted to go into insurance. It was a family business. Hadn't wanted nothing to do with it. But then actually I graduated from college about a year early. Didn't have everything ready to go to law school. And so I had a gap year and ended up working in the business and just honestly fell in love with it. Fell in love with insurance, helping people, building relationships. I really tell people, I think what got me was I was still technically in college doing an internship. I'd wake up, I didn't have class till the afternoon. And it was about 9 a.m. I'm drinking coffee, watching SportsCenter, checking emails and making money. And I was like, how does it get any better than this, you know, as a college right. student? So I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed everything about the business. And then the more that I got to know, you know, my parents and what their vision was for the future and for everyone else in the agency who I kind of grew up knowing a little bit, but not really knowing them. I wanted to get more into the business. And I said, law school, forget that. And focus 100% on the business now. As the president.
Well, that's good because we don't need more lawyers. I'm always saying that.
That's now, what everybody's response is to that. So
well, and it's funny because you came on about 3.5 years ago, and that was about the time we've noticed big growth, right? So I was actually at an event at the Hall of Champions and ran into one of your guys, Keith Lane, and his first remark to me was, I work with Rallo, we're building a monster. And I've seen what you guys have done.
That's a hell of a statement.
It's a great statement. And I remember it so well because it's not often that people would say something like that.
I love that.
And but then, you know, I started noticing that, you know, there was affiliation on the tech side where you guys were doing some marketing. And I was like, okay, like a monster might be exactly the appropriate term. So, you know, it's interesting that you jumped on right around that point.
Yeah, you know, I was definitely blessed to be able to walk into a situation where I have everyone around me who's grown up seeing me and entrusting me from day one. And so I was able to just walk into to C-suite meetings and things that most other people would not be able to walk into out of college. And I was, you know, told to kind of sit in the corner and not talk. But the more that I listened, the more that they allowed me to ask questions. And in my opinion, it was just their response to those questions that really helped us with our growth, because sometimes it's just about having a new perspective on things. You guys know that with marketing, right? You're walking in all the time, seeing new people and new businesses and trying to come at it from a new angle. But sometimes just asking simple questions again can help you go from, you know, what maybe was a rhythm and it turned into a rut as time went on. You got to just make adjustments.
Yeah, that's great.
I have a huge affinity for generational or legacy businesses. So I think that is a massive value as somebody who's building business and building family. Tell me a little bit more about what it felt like sitting in the corner as a kid.
Like, yeah, you know, I actually just remember all the times going to basketball games or doing anything in the car. My parents always talking about, you know, the business, things going on. And I'm not really sure why I never really connected the dots of, you know, the all the blessings that we had growing up with insurance being a really good industry. But as time went on, I started connecting the dots. And working in a family business is a lot of fun. It's fun to be able to have that kind of a relationship with somebody. People ask me all the time, hey, what's it like to work with, you know, your mom, your dad, your wife, your brother, his wife, everyone is in the business, right? And I tell them all the time that it's actually fun, because when you have a relationship with someone like that, you can say things that you might not be able to say to someone else who you just have a work relationship with. And the fun thing is when you have those arguments, you have those debates, and then 20 seconds later, you're like, hey, where are we going to, you know, lunch after church this Sunday? Right. That's a lot of fun. And it makes family business, in my opinion. I'm glad that I'm doing it. I would never want to do anything else.
There's kind of a relational communication shorthand that happens where you're like, you can say a thing that sounds really weird or aggressive or not even serious at all, but they see behind that real fast and say, okay, I know where he's coming from with this real quick.
Absolutely. I mean, you guys have that same thing going on, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I do.
So that's a lot of fun. You know, there's certain days you're like, I'm not talking to them ever again. And then there's other days that it's just back to normal. So it's a lot of fun.
And you know that that's not an option. You have to work through things. Yeah.
Well, and we've also noticed that when there's a generational transfer, when the younger generation comes into the business, we always notice that there is a like hyperspeed jump, because that next generation comes in with new thoughts. They see things differently, and they are not having to go back and establish all those foundational rhythms and these processes. And do we get an HR handbook? And like, it's just a constant. Those things got solved in generation one, and now we can really hit the gas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's fascinating.
Yeah, it really is. And I tell people all the time, you know, our C-suite group and everyone around me, I tell them, look, y'all's job is to make sure we don't crash, right? My job is to make sure that we accelerate. I use my youth and my high level energy, hopefully to encourage them along the way. But I think they love it because they're able to do what you just said. They're able to make sure that we stay within the lines, stay with what we've built, the foundation that we've built, never forgetting those things. But it really allows me to have really one focus, which is how can we best grow for the future? And what does that growth need to be for? We're very important over here about, you know, not just growing to grow. If you grow to have more offices or have more people working with you, there has to be a real reason behind it. And if there's not, then, that's a problem. And that's what they do. They always make sure we have that reason. And my job is really just to help in any way that I can.
That's cool.
So not everybody has the benefit of logging decades of experience before they even get into the career path itself. Like, that is just this huge, you use the word blessing, which I think is appropriate. But it's also... just a massive jumpstart. Like, you're like out there already running a race that people are just starting at, which is a thing that you're aware of, and you're very dedicated to getting young professionals some language, some experience with your podcast. Can you tell us a little more of that?
Yeah, you know, that was really the reason I started the podcast. Because I realized that not everyone had the situation, and like you said, the blessings that I did. Whenever I was going to school, law school was really all that I wanted to do. And then after I had made that change, I realized that I'd basically do what everyone else does, right? They want to do something, and then at some point down the line, they end up changing it, and that ends up being their career forever. And I was just blessed enough to be able to fall into a family business, and I know not everyone else has that. And so that really goes back to the dedication I have for the One and Done podcast, where our goal and our focus is to get the education out there of what industries exist in the white collar space. I think something like 65% of people are going to work in a white collar industry at some point. So that's almost 2/3 of America. That's a big percentage. And so my goal is, what industries exist inside that white collar space? Entrepreneur, you know, being an entrepreneur, banking, wealth management, insurance, marketing, e-commerce, all of these things, finding people who fit in that space and who are successful at a pretty young age, and letting them tell their story about what their industry is, what a day-to-day looks like with them, and then also what they did to make themselves successful. And I think if enough young people hear that, they're going to be able to figure out what they want to do far beyond what I was able to do and what a lot of other people before us have done. But maybe they can find ways to set themselves apart and make themselves successful in whatever industry they end up, you know, liking.
It's fantastic that they get an insider's view without having to actually be installed in those situations or apprenticing or interning. They can actually get a sense of what the day-to-day life is like in those fields.
Yeah, it kind of came because you mentioned Keith Lane, and he helped build that MS business program over at A&M, where you have non-business students doing a one-year mm-hmm. master's in business type things because they figured out, hey, I don't want to be a writer, or I don't want to be a journalist, or I don't want to be an engineer, whatever they said, right? And it's very similar to that approach because that class is full every year, 50 plus students every year, which means there's at least 50 people that go to A&M every year that graduate who actually don't know what they want to do. And I think there's probably a lot more than that. It's just a good example of them.
Yeah.
In my podcast, our goal is to let's help those numbers, not necessarily shrink because I love the MS Business program. I think it's a very good fit, but maybe a supplement or an aid to that type of a program to help people figure out what they want to do maybe just a little bit earlier.
I love that you're giving them some exposure to a lot of different industries, but you're also doing this in such a way, because it's a podcast, there is zero risk, where there's inherent risk if you just jump into an industry.
Yeah, exactly. You know, internships or anything is very tough. You know, I know that having some interns here and some sales internships that we try to build out, it can be difficult to find kids who are dedicated to it, who want to really learn. But at the same time, it's because they don't really know what they want to do yet. So like you said, a podcast is a very simple way. They can listen to it. No one's feelings are going to get hurt. And they're not hearing from me too. That's what I love about it is I'm on the podcast, but I do the least amount of talking, kind of like you guys every time, right? Your guests do all the talking. So they're getting to hear from people who run, you know, large companies, to companies that have over 500 employees, to companies that have 3 employees, to people who are employees. There's all kinds of different backgrounds of the speakers that we have on, and it allows them to hear a very diversified portfolio of speakers, but really all saying the same thing, which is hard work and dedication can get you where you need to go. You just really got to be devoted to that industry and what you pick.
There is one specific commonality amongst all your guests. There's a just out of college idea, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I try to interview people under 28, and people are always like, why'd you pick 28? And my logic behind it was, if you graduate from college at 22, if you did a 2-year master's, you're 24. And then 4 years out of that, the college year in the working field for 4 years, you're 28. And so my goal is to find people who are within that window. That way, when a college student hears about this podcast, they're not hearing from people who they're considering older or who've had enough time to be successful. They're hearing from people who kind of fight back against the norm of, you can't be really successful till you're 32 to 33. These people are saying, look, I had people on as young as 19 and 18 saying, hey, I'm successful. I run a business at 18 years old, and we generate a lot of revenue every single year. That's kind of my goal, is to fight against that traditional way of thinking that, hey, I can't really find my career and be successful until I'm 32. Whereas everyone on my podcast who's they're hearing from, they're successful a lot younger.
And so the one and done podcast, that name means I got into one career path and I'm done. Like, I'm sorted. I know my pathway.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was no question for me whenever I figured out it was insurance, it was insurance. That's my one career path. Now that's going to deviate and take us into some other things that we can do with the wealth management company and the podcast and kind of other ways we can go about that. But insurance is my career. And that's what my goal was for other people too, is find that one career, find it at 22, find it at 20 during internships, and allow that to fuel your success into the future.
Man, I mean, with careers as similar to compounding interest, like just logging time is the real maker of success.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in any industry you get into, you're going to learn more each and every day. I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't learn something new about my industry or other adjacent industries that impact what I do. And so time is a big critical factor in this. And if you can, I tell people all the time, if you were 20 years old and you started working in insurance, a renewable income-based industry, you're going to be, by the time you're 30, you're going to be living a life way different than anyone else who you graduated from college with. It just mm-hmm. takes those people who are looking for that success to think that way at 20, because the traditional model doesn't teach you to do that.
Yeah, I don't feel like people think that way though. I don't feel like that's like common culture, at least of the regular American collegiate graduate, right? Is there's this understanding that I'm going to go, maybe it's from industry to industry. It's definitely from company to company. That what you're kind of preaching here is different.
Yeah. You know, we try to focus a little bit differently, both at our agency side and one and done and the way we do things. And I think it might be, if you look back in the past, that's the way things were done back in the past. And you look at people who were successful in mm-hmm. the past, I think it is a little bit different, but I think there's also a shift right now in the way people think, because they've seen going to school, getting a degree doesn't mean you get a job even. And it definitely doesn't mean you get a great job, you know? And so you have to think differently if you want to be successful. And, you know, success is very ambiguous. It's different to different people. So I don't think you can sit here and say it's a certain amount of money or a certain lifestyle. But I do know that flexibility usually comes into success with anyone, and also the ability to make their own decisions. And entrepreneurs are first and foremost whenever I think of those two things. And so I think a lot of what my podcast is doing is it's helping people learn about ways that they can be in a white collar space as an entrepreneur, even if it's doing something blue collar, like construction or some things like, you know, even retail to some degree is thought of as blue collar. But if you can be the person who's running that business, right, you now turn that into a white collar industry. And so I love having those guests on our podcast as well.
That's great. Awesome. I want to shift the camera back a little bit to the Rollo Insurance side. And I have a question that kind of has two pathways. So I'm interested in future thinking. So I want to know, what do you see will be true of insurance in your industry in 5-10 years? And then what do you have on the horizon for Rollo? And I assume that because you're looking at the future, that those things are, you're trying to anticipate that. So can you just kind of talk about that for a minute?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I was actually having a conversation about that this morning. I don't think anyone knows exactly where insurance is going to go, just like no one knows exactly where marketing is going to go. We all have an idea. We all see technology as a big piece of that. So we're looking at it on our side, and we're saying that, you know, technology is going to be a big piece of insurance. But I've always been of the mindset that professional white collar services like wealth management, like banking, you can remove the person out of it. You can make it about technology, but you see what that does to you whenever small businesses all over the country missed on the PPP loan because of big banks who were all technology driven and they had no relationship to help them file or to get those things taken care of. They missed out on that loan. Mm-hmm. So I think at some point there's always going to be a shift back to relationships and people. And that's really what we focus on at Rollo Insurance is relationships with people. And that means both the people that work with us, but also our customers. Thinking of the best way to be able to sit down with them, whether it's virtually or in person, doesn't matter, but to be able to advise them on the best decision that they need to make. Because insurance is a lot more like wealth management than people think, but it is a very advisor-based process. And especially on the independent side, when we work with so many carriers, it's about finding the right carrier at the right time for what that customer's risk profile is. And so that's really what we're trying to do, you know, just trying to do as much as we can to pick up on the pieces of technology that enhance the people relationships, the client relationships. But at the same time, never really losing focus of what makes our industry special, which is the relationships we're able to build and the people we get to meet.
I really like hearing that because, you know, it kind of shows a distinction between, do I trust the algorithm or do I trust Jackson? Right. And there's something irreplaceable. And I think that that human component is very necessary, needed, and will become more prized and more valuable in the decades ahead.
Yeah. I'll share a story with you guys about that. Actually, I was at a training with one of our insurance carriers. I don't know, whenever I first graduated from college and in a different state, we're sitting in a room and I'm easily the youngest person in there because I was still in college at that point. And we finished the classes early and they asked if we wanted to do an additional class. And we also, we did, and they gave us a couple of options. And one of them was, how do you sell to millennials? And it was awesome to hear all these people telling, you know, me how to sell to me. And it was fun listening to them. And they were saying, oh, it's technology. You got to remove the relationship. And what I've been a big proponent of since I graduated is I hear what you're saying about the generational differences, and I think you can see those in some things, but in business, I don't think that there's as big of a change as you think, because when those people get out of college and they start having mortgages and they start having car payments and they have families and they live in that subdivision, right? And they look just like adults do right now, their mindset and way of thinking is going to transition to, it's all about technology and ease to, okay, yeah, it's about people and relationships. It's just the way human nature is. And so I think that there's going to be a small shift, but I think it's technology helping those relationships rather than technology taking over those relationships.
That's good.
I like it, kind of one of the mentalities that I hear in everything you're saying, even from the legacy owned business to what you just said. You seem to have a really healthy respect for, you know, people have not, not gotten it wrong as much as we like to think that they've gotten it wrong for decades and decades and decades.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I'm a huge innovator. I love thinking of new ways to do things, but I always love thinking of new ways to do things to enhance the most important parts of civilization, which is relationship and communication, right? That goes all the way from the husband and wife level to the parent and child relationship to the business to business and the business to consumer relationship. Really, communication is the most important aspect in all of that. And if you can communicate properly, you can build good relationships that you can build a very strong business based on. And so I love innovation, but I love it whenever it enhances those relationships. Whenever it starts trying to dilute those and remove those relationships, I think that yeah. it's at some point going to have a big consequence that the designers of those things are really never seeing when they're doing it.
I'm thrilled to hear this because at no point in the future, Jackson, do I ever want to buy insurance from you in the metaverse?
Yeah, no. Yeah, me either. I don't want to sell it to you there either.
I don't want to live there. I don't want to drink coffee there. I don't want any part of that. That's great.
Yeah, it is about people and the relationships you can build with them. I mean, I can't really think of anything in life that we do without relationships and people.
That's right.
I mean, the majority of our free time, right, is dedicated to those things. You're going, you know, to have dinner with people or going to their house to hang out. I mean, it's about relationships after work. So why would it not be about relationships during work? It doesn't really make sense.
That's right.
Man,
there's a premium on that.
What are you most excited for in this next season?
Of the podcast or just in life?
Both.
You know, on the podcast, it's always about getting to meet really cool people. I love that from my standpoint of the podcast. It helps me to build relationships with people I'll probably work with for a very long time. So I love just getting to meet them and hearing their stories and then sharing those things. In life, my wife's expecting. We have a little baby girl on the way, so that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm excited for that. The lack of sleep, not so much. We'll see about that. But very excited on the business side, though, just for everything we get to do. You know, whether that means we open 10 offices or 20 offices or we open one, it doesn't matter to me. It really just matters on the relationships we're building with our people and then how that impacts them to build those relationships with their customers and their local communities. So just doing whatever we can do to grow. I tell people all the time, you're never going to go from, you know, an imperfect organization to a perfect organization overnight. What you're going to do is every single year, every single month, every single day, you're going to look at something you can do better, fix it and do it better and build a process to make that continue happening. And if you do that over a long enough period of time, you're going to be able to look back in the future or look back in the past rather and say, man, we made a lot of changes. We got a lot better. And so that's really what we're always trying to do is we're not going to fix everything overnight. If there's a problem, I'll admit it, but we're going to, as time goes on, we're going to look at those problems and find ways to address them.
Congrats on the baby and may there be many more.
Thank you. Yeah. My wife would agree with you on that. And I don't know myself too much.
Great. Well, Jackson, thank you for your time today. This has been really enlightening and just a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. I enjoyed it.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Brand Manual Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. We'd be super grateful if you shared. You can find the other episodes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We'll see you next time on the Brand Manual Podcast.